This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Welcome to the War Room. The War Room. The last couple of days we've been discussing hell and the reality of hell. And today we're going to carry on with Brian Melvin, talking about a talk which is called A Land Unknown. And he refers to hell and his hell experience. As a young man, he drank some bad water. He died on account of it. I think it was cholera or something, but he died on account of it, and he found himself in hell. Yet God had mercy on him, and he had a second chance. And the result is that he became a pastor, and every now and then he talks about his experience. Now, I would listen very carefully to what he has to say. He has experienced it firsthand, and it's very, very scary when you hear what is going on there. Now, the biggest problem is there's a big deception. People don't believe in hell anymore, but still, truth is not what we make it. This is pretty much what postmodernism says. It tries to tell us that truth is what we make it. That's our truth. That's our subjective truth. Now, that is all a lot of nonsense. Truth is what is. In Yorkshire, we've got a saying which says the proof is in the pudding. So if you eat the pudding, you know what it's like, whether it's real or not. Now, truth is unchangeable. Truth is truth. It cannot be messed about with. Reality is reality. You cannot really change it. You can try and deceive yourself in believing it's not like it really is. And this is what the devil has successfully done over the last 3, 4, maybe 5 generations, where people have given up on a thought of hell. Brian Melvin talks about a lot of people who he met in hell who seemingly didn't believe in hell either. And they suddenly, you know, they lived good lives. They seemed to be living ordinary, you know, middle of the road, middle class lives. Suddenly a car accident or something else, and their soul ended up in a horrible place. It is important that you make peace with God. It's really, really important that you come to a point in your life, if you haven't already done so, where you surrender to God and where you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you just call on his name and ask him to come into your life to rescue you from this prospect of hell. Now, Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven, and it's something we should take to heart. He fully acknowledged that there is a place called hell, and if you believe in Jesus, if you recognize his words, then you better believe the same. Okay, let's move on to the third talk by Brian Melvin. I think there's enough stuff for a fourth talk. We'll see whether we can squeeze it in. But very important to listen to it. And also, as far as the War Room is concerned, get going. You know, get your youth group going on how can you communicate the reality of hell to a lost generation, to a generation that doesn't believe in it anymore and doesn't want to know it and just thinks it's some sort of medieval concept some crazy monks came up with, but really it doesn't exist. So it's very, very important to tell them this is not the truth. The truth is hell is real. And if you don't turn, this is your destiny.
All I could do was just say, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. We went through one cube after another cube after another cube. And then the strange thing is, he motioned and we went in between the cubes. This is the part that I still have nightmares about. I went through the cubes and they were pressed tightly together, but you could walk through them. And since they're all kind of squared and it's a circle, some of the cubes, you know, broke open, had little corridors and chambers. We walked back to the farthest recesses of the pit where the wall, back wall of hell was, and there's little doorways and entrances that go off to other parts in that area. But you get back there, and you walk back and through and down and around, and all I could just remember is seeing all these people, thousands of people, millions of people in there. It just was awful. And yet, every bit of their sin nature was being uncovered. Let me tell you a few things I saw inside the cubes. For more information, you have to buy my book. Shameless plug. Amen. Here's this guy. I remember this guy. He was a captain of a sailing ship. And as he was walking along, you could have instant knowledge, revelation knowledge of their life history, why they were there, whatever. He lived in 1700s, the captain of a British sailing ship. He was very sadistic. He punished his crew unmercifully. He just loved to torture them and play mind games with them. So his hell was experience everything his crew members suffered. His ship was sunk in a battle, and he drowned there. So he would experience the drowning over and over again. His real sin, how evil that guy was being made manifest. No wonder you're going to be punished forever. Look how evil you are. And that's what it's like being like a voice kind of speaking there. That's what it was showing people. You're so, how evil you are. Look at you. The real you, how terrible you are. This guy was sadistic as all get out. Then I saw one lady who was a very nice lady. Everybody would think that she was really nice. She died in a car wreck, 1980. And I called, she went through the tornado vortex and dropped right at my feet there. I was looking inside the cube and I could see inside the cube like she saw it while I was standing on the outside. And I looked at her and she got up and I could see the demon in there, but for her, she saw it as her grandmother, welcoming into paradise. Welcome, my child. You'll love it here. All these demons were knocking on the door, entering this cube. And as they entered, she saw them as friends, people that she wants to know. Oh, there's Grandpa. There's Uncle Joe. There's Uncle Sue. You know. Oh, this is paradise. And so they're all in this house, and then they walked into the kitchen, and the scenery would change as they walked. It was like a treadmill. The inside of the floor would move, and they would just be walking. And then she said, let's go outside. I'll show you outside. And she was giving this big tour of the outside. And she's just going, wow, I know, this is great, you know. This is wonderful. I'm in paradise. And her grandmother, which was a demon at that time, was giving the illusion, because these demons give illusions of people. And she couldn't see it as a demon right then. She didn't know where she was. She thought she was in paradise. And then she says, oh, honey, I'm going to go back to the house and bake you some cookies like you always liked. So why don't you go over there and rest under the shade of the trees? Well, those trees weren't trees. They were demons that looked like trees. Because some of the demons there, I got to tell you, some of the demons look like, I can't describe them, but some of them look like walking sticks. And they look like trees and gross tests. I even, in my book, I described that some of them look like rotting vegetables. I have no way else to describe them. And then there were dinosaur-like, there were serpents, all kinds of ugly creatures. And so these creatures, she sat down at the rock, and there was this pool, the stream there. And she, I remember her sticking her hand in the stream and pulling it up, and how come my hand's not wet? And she was thinking that, and she looked up, and she started getting these waves of depression hit her. And she realized, right then and there, that this wasn't paradise. Then I just remember, it gives me chills, because those trees, those leaves, those branches engulfed her. And she just started sobbing and crying and let out a little shriek. And she realized how ugly she was inside and what she gave up. Then we proceeded to another cube. I saw another cube where there was a guy in there who was a teacher, a professor at a university. And he was writing on the board something over and over and over again like you do in school. And he just was... It was weird. And I walked to another place and I could see another guy. It looked like he was fishing. And another lady was just walking along like the streets of Paris in the early 1900s, just with a blank 1,000-yard stare. And yet, it wasn't like, oh, poor me, look at me, I'm being punished. It was like evil inside of her was being made manifest. Like, I hate these people, I hate these people. Arr, arr. You know. The real her was coming out. And then when that came out, the demons would come. Smack, bang, coming hordes and just slash and cut you and spit and grab you and bite you. And the worse you got, you didn't get better. The worse you got in there. That's what they're happening to these people. And I saw so much. And then all of a sudden, we walked back out to the wide, dusty road, walked across it, And I saw all these demons, thousands, millions of them, gathering about these wavy, vaporous beams. And all of a sudden, they looked like telephone poles. For some reason, they looked like telephone poles to me. And these demons were climbing up. And then all of a sudden, it was granted to me to I could see through the walls of hell. And these poles were extending out of the earth in certain places, geographic locations. And on top of these poles sat these big demons. Because demons have rank. The taller the ones have the most power, and the little ones do their bidding. And they're up there singing songs. Not heavenly music. Their songs are very melodic, very monotone, very dull. And what they would do is entice people to hear this music, and they'd dance to the tune. Someone being, you know, a doom and gloom type hum. You know, I'm so miserable. Oh, woe is me. I feel so bad. You know, it's that type of thing. People start believing it. Believing a lie that this thing was... As soon as you believe that, this thing would call down to these other demons. They would escape out of there and they go attack you and try to drag you down there, try to stain God's character, using you in a battle to get God to go back on His word. When I read years later Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, it speaks of powers and principalities in the heavenly places over the earth. Well, I saw that. I saw it happening. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45, I don't have time to read the whole thing. It says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places or the dry places seeking rest but finds none. And that person gets better through whatever means. And then all of a sudden that demon up there will say, hey, you know, this guy's getting better. So he finds seven more worse and they climb back up that pole and they start attacking you. I saw this. When I read this, I was astounded. I go, Lord, I mean, who am I? I mean, you're showing me these things. So what happened to me is in the scripture there. And I was seeing this stuff. Spiritual warfare conference. So much there. So let me tell you and close. I'm going to close with a reading from Psalms 40 while I'm talking. You guys can turn there. I'm going to read Psalms 40 and close. Because when I was there, the demon took me back into the cubes, back to the furthest recesses of the pit, back to where the wall meets the cubes. And there was this cube that was open, and all these demons inside of there. And I was just saying, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I was petrified. I was scared. And it was like my feet were like stuck in mire. I couldn't get out of this place. I wanted to wake up. It's your own worst nightmare. You never can wake up. That's what those people were experiencing in those cubes. You can't wake up from these living nightmares. And I was watching all these demons, just probably from here to the end of that stage over there. And they were just all shapes and sizes and hideousness. They wanted me to enter that cube. Because I knew if I entered that cube, I would not come back. And I didn't want to go there. I was brought to my wit's end. There was no help. And I'm going to read Psalms 40, and I can never get through this psalm without crying, because when I first read it, it meant something to me. Very, very, very profound. This is a very profound scripture because it means so much to so many people. But it just meant something to me when I first read it because it just blew me out of the water. About a year later, I went through the Bible reading chapter after chapter, and I came to this, and I went, my God. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. That word, I waited patiently, does not mean I'm waiting at a bus stop for God to show up. That means brought to a place where there is no help. You are at the end of yourself, and there's nowhere else to go. If God doesn't save you, there's nothing else you can be done. You're damned, you're lost. It's the end of the road, buddy. That's what that phrase actually means. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. While I was there saying, Jesus Christ, brought to the end of myself, I could feel the presence of God inclining to me, coming down. I could feel Him coming. I could sense power and authority coming. And then I felt somebody pick me up. And He had scars in His hand, tore. I remember Him holding me. And his wrist, his bones were pulled apart. Because when he lifted, his bones spread apart. That hurt. He inclined his ear to me and he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. In hell, it feels like you're stuck. You can't get out. There's no way I can get out of here. And he heard me. And he held me in his arms and he carried me. And he brought me up literally out of the pit. He carried me out of there. Then as we were going back, I went back to the same horrible tunnel, and then we set my feet upon this big rock, the same rock I entered on. Next verse. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God, and then you will see in fear and will trust the Lord. I don't know. We all go through things where we feel like we're at our wits' end. But nothing's more scarier than realizing that you're not going to get out of hell. I don't know why God saved me, brought me up out of there. But he did. So when I came back, the rest is history. I became a Christian months after this experience. And I want to tell you, some people say, oh, you got saved in the afterlife. No, I didn't. I had to get saved just like everybody else, because in eternity, you're sealed. God gave me a second chance, man. I didn't deserve the second chance, because when you're in hell, you know you deserve to be there. It's not poor, pitiful me in hell. It's, I deserve to be there. I deserve to be there. But he rescued me out of that horrible pit. And I had to come back to the Lord like everybody else. I had to raise my hand, come to the altar in front of everybody and get saved just like everybody else. And so Isaiah 24 verse 21 through 22, I just want to read and close with this verse. It says, on that day the Lord will punish the host of heaven in heaven and the kings of the earth on earth. Everybody reads this verse, and I argue with atheists and all kinds of people, even to this day. And they always point, oh, that's kings of the earth. That's a politician. That's not me. Right. God gave you a gift in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. He gave you a dominion. To rule in your area, in your little lordship, your little kingdom. How are you ruling? Beating your spouse, lying, cheating, and stealing. How are you ruling like a king? This verse is for all of us. And the kings of the earth on the earth, they will be gathered together as prisoners in a pit, and they will be shut up in prison, and after many days they will be punished. Hell as it exists now is described as this holding area. And I, since I worked in community corrections and ran a prison ministry, I like to use this one little example because it's just, the revelation knowledge is incredible. It's like hell as it exists now is like going to the county jail, only worse. Everybody's gathered together, your sentence is read, and you await your trial. You hang out there until your trial. After your trial, you're found guilty. You don't go back to the county jail. You go to prison. That's what this verse is talking about. That's the closest I can correlate it to. So, let me conclude. I don't mind if anybody says that I had an open vision of hell, and they can debate me if they like that, if I died or not. It doesn't really, not important to me. I know that I died. So, at the conclusion, I'd like to ask this one question to everybody. This one little question. Are you certain of heaven without doubt? Are you certain of heaven without doubt? How will you stand before the three witnesses of God, threefold witness? Before your silver cord is snapped and your spirit returns to God who gives it. How will you stand before that? Will you stand forgiven, changed into his child to be a reflection of Christ's likeness on earth? Being transformed into his righteousness, being transformed into his love, church. Why don't we love more? We're being transformed, children of God. It's time to be transformed. And we're in that process of being changed. You want to be a child of God or want to be a child of the devil? Two types of children. I remember arguing with an atheist. He says, oh, we're all God's children. I said, no. Jesus said there's children of light and darkness. There's children of the devil and children of God. I love my child much more differently than I love my neighbors. When you become a child of God, adopted into that, you become His own child and begins to change and transform you and to be what you're to the glory of God. You're going to put His love in your heart. You're going to learn how to operate in that love. It may be painful, but He'll teach you, and He'll never let you go. Or you want to stand before the Lord as a stranger, knocking on the door. Let me in, Lord. I know You're a loving God. It doesn't matter. I live like hell on earth. You're going to let me in anyway. How are you going to stand? So I want to conclude here. I'd like everybody to stand up. Stretch your legs. And if you're serious and you're really thinking, are you certain of heaven without doubt and you have some doubts? You're going to have to do what other people have done. Jesus said, any man denies me before my Father, I will deny him before others. This is what I had to do. I had to get up out of my seat and come down to the front. So everybody's just bow your heads and eyes closed. If that's you, just come on up front.
Yeah, that was the last talk here by Brian Melvin, A Land Unknown. I hope you enjoyed it. Probably not the best talk to have at 11:30, depending where you are. If you're listening on BPN Radio at 11:30 at night and just going up to midnight, probably something very serene to think about. But again, if you are not right with God or you don't know where you stand, I just want to reiterate what Brian said, and one of the things Apostle Paul says is that belief in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, you know, that He died on the cross for you and that He shed His blood for your sin, and confess with your mouth. There are two elements to this. And if you want to do this, and if you have done this, I would like you to just do this, you know, to believe in your heart and to tell somebody about it. That Jesus is your Lord, that you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And you can do this tomorrow, you can do this to your spouse or your kids or your parents or your friends or whatever. But I think it's very important that you do this. Now, let me just reiterate a couple of things about the war room. Now, this is one of the biggest lies that's been perpetrated for the last 100 years, and that is that there is no hell. And we need to get the message out there. We need to get the message out there that hell is real. It does exist. It is there. And it's your eternal destiny unless you come to Jesus Christ. You cannot please God in your flesh. You cannot please God in your sin. You cannot please God the way you are. Your sin needs to be covered up. And the only way to do this and the only one who has done this is God Himself. He has provided the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. And through Him being shed and through His blood being shed, you can receive freedom and eternal life in heaven. Okay, very, very important message. Now, if you have missed the previous talks, this talk is going to be talk number 81, I think. I hope I got it right. 81, yeah. So we've got talk number 79, that's the first part. Then talk number 80, that's the second part. And this one is the third one, which is 81. And you can find this at www.christianwarroom.com. Yeah, so if you go to the audio section, all the talks are there. So you can upload them or listen to them. And you can get the full picture, but you can also go on YouTube. And if you just type in Brian Melvin, A Land Unknown, there, I think there are a few talks about this. I think it's a shortened version. The longest one, I think, is about 70 minutes or something. It's very, very interesting to listen to him. He's got a lot of interesting stories from from his experience. And so it's important to to take hold of it. Again, it's a war room exercise, and maybe you can download the talk, you can get the audio, and you can distribute some of it, especially people who are agnostics and come from the anything goes kind of brigade. They need to know that this is not the truth, that there is a consequence, and that this is real. Okay, and I think as far as the war room is concerned, we close on our hell talks on here, unless I find another really important one, and I think it's good to squeeze it in here. So we've had about how many? Five days, a week long of hell here at BPN Radio and at Seismic Radio. Again, serious stuff, really, really serious stuff. We need to get the message out. We need to get the message out. People are playing with their eternity, and they are not realizing it. As I said in one of the previous talks, that 85% of Americans think that they go to heaven. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that only few will find the narrow way. It's certainly not 85%. That's not the definition of few. And so there's a lot of deception going on, and the devil thrives on deception. And he just, is happy about it, that he will get more company for the lake of fire. But God's heart is aching because he calls out to you. And our big problem is we've got free will, and he's not going to touch our free will. We can do what we want, and that's our autonomy, which we have. I tell you, it's very hard to give up this autonomy to then come to God and to let him be Lord in our lives. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But it's important. We need to do this. We need to do this. Okay, let me just sum up. You are listening to BPN Radio. The opinions expressed here on the war room, in the Christian war room, are not necessarily in agreement with the management of BPN Radio. It's very important. You can hear this stuff on Seismic Radio as well. And obviously, you can hear this at the ChristianWarRoom.com. ChristianWarRoom.com. So lots of talks on there. Some may be interesting, some may not be interesting. It's up to you. But anyway, just something for you to get into. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you have given us a way out of hell, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. But through you, we can receive forgiveness of sin. And if we call upon your name, and that is what your word says, we will not be disappointed, but you will save us. You will come to our rescue. And so, Lord, we are calling, Lord Jesus Christ, we are calling upon your name, and we are calling for salvation in our lives. We pray that you will help us to see you in your glory, to see us in our sinfulness, and to be led to true repentance. Lord, we pray, Lord, your word says that the Holy Spirit has come to convict and to convict of righteousness and to convict of sin and to lead us into truth. We pray that, Lord, that this will happen in our lives, that we will be, that we will know righteousness, that we will be convicted of our sin, that we will be led into repentance in our life on a daily basis, and that we will, Lord, that we will be led into truth. And Lord, you said that you are the truth, that we will know you more and more as a friend, as a brother, and most of all as our Lord and as our God. And we pray for this, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, a bunch of sinners who cannot stand before you, and unless you do something about it. And we pray, Lord, that we can receive this great offer and this great sacrifice you've given for us. We pray for this in Jesus' name. We love you, and we thank you for what you have done. And we pray, Lord, help us to carry this message into this world for more people to see you. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.